Well, again, to help us to learn what it means to be reasonable, agreeable, submissive to counsel. Really, the method employed here in the Proverbs is to show us the opposite when someone's unreasonable, not submissive, unapproachable, particularly the person who's known as a fool. And sometimes looking at someone everyone can see as a fool can help us in looking at our own lives and hearts and seeing foolish behaviors that are there. So as we look at this fool this evening, I want to raise three sets of questions before you that can be questions of self-examination. And then after I raise these questions, I want to just bring it to a point of application for our congregation at this moment in its time and ministry together. Now, this isn't a flattering message. we're talking about someone being unreasonable. So as we look at this fool, just don't look around. Just look at yourself and reflect on your own life. These are simple questions. And the first set, the first pair are these two. Is your head getting big? Is your head remaining hard? Is your head getting big? Is your head remaining hard? Really, at the center of this passage might be verses 4 and 5, which when you first read them, if you can remember that time you first came across them in the book of Proverbs, maybe it's tonight, it seems like they're contradicting themselves. The first one says, answer not a fool according to his folly. And then the very next one says, answer a fool according to his folly. Well, obviously the Bible doesn't contradict. It's not these verses that these verses are contradictory. It's the fact that when you're engaging in a fool, you're engaging with someone who himself is contradictory. The idea is that you have to answer a fool in one way on certain occasions, but then at other times, the best answer is going to be silence. This is someone who is hard-headed, stubborn, intent on going his own way, and you have to deal with him quite cautiously. You cannot reason with a fool. They're filled with their own self-opinions and answering back. The injunction in verse 4, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself, means that you can't enter into the same context that the fool wants to argue with you about. In other words, there are certain times you should know that when you're talking with a person who exhibits foolish behavior, to engage that person is just going to cause you to argue like he's arguing. It's going to create quarrels. It's going to cause you to start getting angry like he's being, or starting to slander other people, whatever it may be, and you can't answer it. Likewise, if you find yourself often in quarrels or getting angry in order to get your own way, then the Bible would be saying to you, you're being unreasonable. You're being foolish. As it says in chapter 18, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinions. On the other hand, there are times when a godly person does have to give a fool, in a sense, a dose of medicine. Because it says here, sometimes you have to answer them so they don't think they're wise in their own eyes. When you see someone expressing an opinion that could bring harm to himself or harm to others in the church, then you may have to speak to that occasion. You may have to say something, and probably what's going to come is a short warning. And that's, again, how we can evaluate ourselves. If you find yourself being warned again and again about the same behaviors, or someone in your life is cautioning you repeatedly about something, then again, it could be a sign that you're not being reasonable. Remember, to be reasonable means to be easily persuaded, compliant, agreeable. And one of the things this text tells us about those with heads that are growing, and heads that are being hard as we can be a stubborn people, is that one of the things that we cannot do with a person who is unreasonable is honor him Look at verse 1 again. Like snow in summer or rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. This past week, it snowed quite a bit. We may not have liked it, but at least we could acknowledge the fact that it is the season for snow. Now, if the same thing happened in July, then we might have a reason to say, that's just inappropriate. This isn't fitting for the season. And in the same way, honor is not fitting for a fool. It says that again down in verse 8. Like one who binds the stone in the sling is one who gives honor to a fool. It's not a good thing to do. You can imagine when David was rushing out toward Goliath with that stone in his sling. If before he went out there, he tied it and bound it up so that when he slung it around, it didn't leave, he would have been guaranteed defeat. And so we can't honor those who are foolish, the Scriptures say. There's just really not a crown big enough to put on the head. And traveling down to Pittsburgh, on 376, right outside the city, there's a large billboard advertising a prestigious jewelry store. And on this billboard are the figures of six men and women. They're quite beautiful, stylish people who are obviously there because they're wearing the jewelry of this jewelry store. These figures, you see them on the billboard from the waist up, and they are posed there with great confidence. Their hair's all styled. They've got the white, sparkly teeth. Some of them have their heads thrown back with great confidence. Others are staring at you like they mean business. And these are large figures of these people. Matter of fact, they are so large that the heads of these figures protrude above the billboard. So the rectangular perimeter of the billboard is exceeded by the figures of these people. Hundreds of commuters drive by every day looking at those pictures of these stylish, beautiful people. And you can imagine if you were one of those people and you saw your image up there, you might be quite proud, quite honored that you're on that billboard. Well, that may be, but the only thing I ever notice when I drive by it are all the pigeons perched on the top of their heads. And it just looks ridiculous. As I see those pigeons sitting on those big, big heads, they think they're being honored, but they've just become a resting place for pigeons. And that's the way it is with foolishness. Fools think that they're wise, think that they should be honored, but their foolishness is just resting on their head. And so often, everyone else can see it, but they do not. Proverbs 15:33 says, "The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor." As we evaluate ourselves, what is your knowledge doing for you? What is your wisdom doing for you? Is it creating humility and approachability and a willingness, no matter how old you are in Christ, to keep learning and receiving instruction from other people? Or are you one of those people who act like you know everything? We're to be humble, contrite before the Lord, open to others' counsel, able to work even when there's disagreements, able to work with others through them. Ask yourself, in the quietness of your own heart, is my head getting big? Is my head remaining hard? And then ask yourself these questions. Is my neck stiff? Is my back sore? Verse 3. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the back of fools. Fools never learn. They stiffen their necks, continue on their way, refusing to listen, repeating the same mistakes over and over. And you can try to beat it into them, but the lessons are never learned. You can't reason with a fool. As Proverbs 17:10 says, a rebuke goes deeper into the one of understanding than 100 blows to the back of a fool. A stiff neck can lead to a sore back. I know that. I have a mild case of scoliosis, a curvature in my back. And just every now and then it gets me. I'll be sitting at a desk or waking up from bed and I've got that ache in my neck. And then I start walking kind of funny, holding myself kind of funny. And before long, that ache has worked itself down into the small of my back. Stiff neck, leading to a sore back. There were three fools called the Three Stooges that talk about the neck bone being connected to the backbone. And in the same way it is with the fool, he stiffens himself against counsel, against persuasion. And metaphorically speaking, he grows up to have a sore back because he doesn't learn from life's lessons. And again, it's not very flattering, the picture. He's pictured here in verse 3 like a donkey. The owner, the bridle in his hand, trying to get the donkey to go forward, but the donkey won't go. He's seated on his haunches. He's braying. He's stiffening his neck. He just won't go forward where the donkey, where the owner wants the donkey to go. Verse 11's, it's a gross picture. Like a dog, Peter uses it in his gospel to speak of false teachers, but here for the fool, like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. It's a gross thing. Dogs are gross creatures. We had a dog growing up named Freckles, and he didn't only eat his vomit. It's just gross. Gross. But when people won't learn, when they continue to exhibit the same behaviors year after year despite the right teaching in their life, that's what it looks like in the eyes of the Lord. It's just gross. Matthew Poole says that this describes the madness of sinners who, after having smarted from their sins and been forced to forsake them for a time, do afterwards return to commit them all over again. Though you pound a fool in a mortar with a pestle along with crushed grain, his folly will not depart from him. We need to, again, to look at our own lives and ask ourselves, is there a pattern of repeated sinful behaviors in my life, particularly where I just won't learn, where I just won't go on like I ought to go, and I just want to hold on to this behavior, hold on to this sin, explain that that's just the way I am. You just have to live with my personality like that. To actually argue against the transforming grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you may have run up many a time against a brick wall or been beaten innumerable times until, again, metaphorically speaking, your back is sore and raw, but you just keep going. You won't stop. And sometimes we can actually feel helpless, these kinds of sins, the angry outbursts, the refusal to listen, the desires to argue and quarrel with others. We think, how can we stop ourselves when we get this way? Well, what do we always need to do? We always need to go to the cross and think a moment. And in light of what we've just talked about, think about the cross this way. It's almost hard for me to say it. God the Father sent His Son into this world. And how was He treated? He who was the source, the fount of all wisdom. One who was greater than Solomon, who wrote this book. How was He treated? When He was put on trial, How is he treated? Those around him took him and treated him like this, as if he was a fool. He was mocked. His back was beaten and whipped. His hands and feet were pierced so that he could remove all of our foolishness, every bit of our unreasonableness away from us. As Isaiah said, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are as scarlet, though the way you've been living may be very foolish according to the standard of God's Word, I could make them white as snow. By my wounds, I can heal. I can transform you, and change you, and humble you. It's to Him that we must look to overcome our stiff necks and our sore backs and learn to be His disciples. One final set of questions for you tonight. As we consider being reasonable, ask yourself, are my lips loose? Are the words of my mouth useless? Are my lips loose? Are the words of my mouth useless? As it says in the last verse we read, verse 12, do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Fools are not discreet. They feel a need to speak into every situation. They always think they know what is right. They want to interject an answer before they've even listened fully to another person. When I'm being unreasonable, the scriptures say that I'm being worse than a fool. And that quality can show up in a number of ways. So verse 6 points it out. Whoever sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet, drinks violence. A fool is untrustworthy with responsibility and with knowledge. He will not communicate accurately and truthfully. And so doing harms himself and harms the one that might send him. Look at verse 7. Like a lame man's legs which hang useless, so is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. You can take the Bible, take knowledge and use it in unhelpful ways. It doesn't take teaching and grow from it. It just becomes useless to him, what he's learning and hearing week by week. Or he can cause pain and create division with knowledge and doctrine. Verse 9 says that he can be like a drunkard with a thorn bush in his hand. You won't get near that guy. So is a fool with a proverb in his mouth. Or like an archer who wounds everyone as one who hires a passing fool or drunkard. We need to ask ourselves, are my lips conveying truth? Am I using knowledge and words in a way that again bring healing and help to other people? Those are the questions for your own self-evaluation and self-reflection. I'm not pointing a finger at anyone tonight except myself as I think about my own life and my own heart. But there is an application I want to move us toward as we close tonight. We are in such an important time as a congregation. Such an important time for us as a church. We are meeting in two different sites. And we have found, the elders have found, that it's very easy as we meet in these two different locations and are trying to figure where we're headed out, for miscommunication to develop, suspicions to arise, words to be spoken that are not helpful to where we're headed. We can grow impatient and say things that are hurtful. We can be, bottom line, unreasonable. So we need to ask God for this grace. Because you see, we're going to have to talk in these next few weeks and months about some very important items. About a future pastor for our congregation. About our future together. About the vision and the plans that we have as a congregation. And how it's going to be imperative upon us to be reasonable. That we're listening carefully to one another. That we're willing to receive correction when we're wrong. That we're willing to be persuaded of an opinion or a stance that may not be necessarily the right one just because we have it. That we want to be agreeable as much as possible. That we want to take the information that we know and we want to use it responsibly to heal, to bring together, to unite, rather than divide and to separate. We need to all keep looking to Christ, remembering we are His disciples. And He is our humble Lord who is so patient with us. So reasonable when it comes to us, even when we're acting foolishly. Let's show we're these disciples as we come in these weeks ahead and as we reason together. And remember this, God cares more about the conduct and the character of this congregation than He does about any plans that any one of us may have. He died. Christ died for our character, for our souls, to make us like Him. May He grant us the grace and the strength to reflect that as we reason together. As James asked in that passage, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Let us pray.